Hey everyone, I'm Susan Campbell and you're listening to Unfiltered, a podcast where my team of marketing professionals share their thoughts on all things branding. You'll laugh, you'll learn, and hopefully walk away with new info about how to market your business. Enjoy.
Tony Barman.
Yes, Anna.
Welcome to Unfiltered Marketing.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
First time we've had you on the podcast. Got myself, Anna West, and producer
Zach Doyle, video podcasting producer extraordinaire,
and flossing master
and flossing amateur amidst all the kids. Yeah. Grown.
If you'd like to see any videos of Zach flossing, just check out our Instagram at marketingsjc
and cringe.
No,
yeah,
it's awesome.
It'll it's rock good. Your world.
Yeah, it's gonna rock your world.
Yeah. So, Tony, tell us what you do at SJC Marketing.
Yeah, I am the graphic designer for SJC, and we'll take care of all things visual for the most part on the graphic design side.
Yeah.
Taking the role of lead designer. I don't know what that means, but...
Well, you have an intern now.
Yeah.
So you're bossing somebody around.
Kind of have a little real minion
under
me, so...
A real bar minion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Yeah.
Nice. So tell us about your background. When did you start design? Like, when you only had to like hand draw things and then like put it onto a Gutenberg.
That's funny. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We were pounding stuff out on rock. No, I'm not that old, folks.
tablets, stone tablets.
But if you want to see my beautiful face, go to our website. I have a little gray in my beard.
We'll let people determine how old they think you are.
Yeah, this is true. I graduated from college in,
you're so old, you can't remember.
X amount of years.
I think 01, 2000 or 2001.
Okay.
I try to go off of when I got married. I think I got married in 02 and I graduated a little bit before, a year before that. So yes, graduated with a degree in, really a pretty general degree in like communication art with an emphasis in graphic design and illustration. Really both of my passions as an artist. And really before I even graduated, I had a job with a publisher in North Kansas City at the time. So I was working part-time there as a graphic designer, but it was mostly like a glorified layout guy. You know, we were setting up publications for newspapers. So I was just placing text, placing graphics, layout was already done. But it was a really good intro into the field and getting things done and just spending, my time with the company, just getting to know the industry at the time, which is significantly different than it is now.
So before you even graduated and already had this job, when you decided to go into graphic design and illustration, what were your aspirations or what did you think you were going to do with it? Was it going into like newspaper or were you wanting to do something?
No, I had much more lofty goals. Like, I remember talking to my mom, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I really excelled at art in school, in high school, and just always loved working with my hands and drawing, and didn't even have a computer. I mean, a desktop computer wasn't really even a thing at the time. And, you know, graduated high school in 95. There was no, at least in our class and in the Midwest, there was no home computer really at the time that would even have those capabilities in 1995 or 96. Yeah. So when I hit college, you know, they had computer labs and things like that, but they were really just for typing and doing really basic stuff. And then the next two or three years, that technology grew. So for me, I really, really wanted to be an animation artist. That was huge for me.
Like go to Disney kind of thing?
Yeah.
Disney.
Full on.
I wanted to be honest.
I wanted to be an animation artist. But, you know, it was really like cell animation. There wasn't a ton of computer generated motion pictures at that time. Mm-hmm. There were bits and pieces and like Toy Story came out, but it was mostly cell animation, drawing characters one cell at a time. That really intrigued me and I thought I could pursue it, but I got accepted to the Kansas City Art Institute And it was so expensive. My family just couldn't afford it. We had 7 siblings at the time, my mom and family. And it was one of those things where they just couldn't afford it. And I understood that. I understand that now. I didn't understand it then.
Yeah.
But...
Now that's a big deal.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is really to have to afford $80,000 worth of education at that time.
Yeah.
You know, like 19 years ago. So I ended up regrouping and just pursuing an art degree at Missouri Western State University, a college at the time, and made the best of it.
Mm-hmm. Did you still want to do the same thing, or you didn't think you'd be able to without that, like Casey Art Institute under your belt?
Really, Casey Art Institute and similar art institutes were, you know, kind of right at the edge of a lot of that.
Yeah.
They even boasted, you know, people, and they do boast people being hired from these larger companies like Disney. And
yeah.
So that was really where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So just plowed forward into my graphic design degree and made the best of it. Struggled with general studies, excelled in art, just like high school, just like I knew I always would.
Yeah.
You know, once I really got to that point, just really excelled in that. It really helped me. One of the, probably the biggest thing I did in college was, and this was outside of my university training or schooling, was going to the Illustration Academy, which is held locally at the time. I believe it is now. It's put on by 2 local illustrators that are just amazing, really well-known illustrators throughout that community. Really in the world. Frankly, if you get into it, you find out how just amazing they are. I came across this ad in How Design Magazine. I had some money saved up to do some other stupid stuff with it, but I just really felt like, man, I you know, if I'm going to take this job seriously in my pursuit of this thing, I need to think about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I used that money that I saved up to go to this. It was actually like a 6-week course at William Jewell College in Liberty. Mm-hmm. And they bring in these world-renowned illustrators. And so they bring them in for like they each get like a week. So you spend a week with these guys and girls. And I did a 2-week session. You could break it up because it's really expensive. And I broke it up, which appropriately, you get years worth of knowledge in 5 weeks. And for my 2-week session there, it was amazing. I really enjoyed it. I learned more in that 2-week period than probably the other 2.5 years of art school. I got a 4-year degree, but you know, 2 years of that was general studies. And then when I was in art, so that 2-week period was amazing. And I still look back and learn from that, think about all of the things that I learned there. And I follow those guys a little bit. The Illustration Academy still exists, and they're still teaching guys, getting them into the community, getting them into being successful at what they do and not just feeling like they can't compete in this huge commercial art realm, because that's really what it is. Communicating through visuals, whether it's illustration or graphic design, that's why clients hire, to create those unique visuals. Yeah, it's really cool to see that they're still surviving and still doing it. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's kind of
a cool. I never knew any of that about you, Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, all you got to do is sit down with a mic and a quiet room, and Tony just gets a talking.
Yeah, I know, right?
So then, okay, so you moved from your job right out of college.
Yep.
How long were you there?
Yep. Not long.
Yeah.
Until I realized it just wasn't as fulfilling and as it could be creatively challenging. So I went on to a job with a publishing company in Overland Park and became an art director for the publishing company book division, and really loved that. Now it was much more creative, had a lot more variety of projects, a lot more variety of people.
Mm-hmm. Was it during that time that your job started getting a little more like computer heavy as far as like the design programs coming in?
Absolutely. And we used computers quite a bit at the newspaper. We had Macs, but it was, I think like G3s and G4s were, you know, the thing. And, you know, they would get one or two of those. And then, moving into the publishing company was pretty established at that point, but the software was always changing.
Right.
Weren't using Quark Express anymore. Weren't using PageMaker. Mm-hmm. You know, around that time, you know, InDesign started, you know, being a tool. And
that is so sad to me. You want to know why? Because I was in school during that time, and I was a marketing major, and we took like a graphic design class, and we were trained on PageMaker. Yeah. And that would have been, InDesign was already out. And so, because I graduated in 2004. And so when I graduated, I Yeah. No one was really, I mean, there were still some people using PageMaker, hardly.
Yeah, sure.
But I then had to relearn InDesign once I got my first job, or not relearn, learn it for the first time, which there were definitely some similarities, so it wasn't too bad. Yeah. But I was like, that just shows how far behind, like, small private Christian school institutions were. Yeah,
sure. I think my dates are right.
I think you are. Correct. Yeah.
I remember, like I said, getting married in 02, having already a lot of that established. But anyway, the software's ever changing.
Right.
Ever increasing in its capabilities and being really a tool.
Yeah.
And that's really all it is.
Does that excite you, or does it stress you out when you're like, oh my gosh, something new I need to learn or stay up to date on?
It doesn't stress me out anymore. No, I would say in the beginning, there's a little, mostly from the side of like just getting things done on time.
Right.
And having the ability to do those things. More stressful for me is just coming up with those concepts and ideas that are powerful. And like, I don't worry about the tools anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that is really important for young designers to learn, is be familiar with your tools. That way you don't have to worry about that when you get to the really creative stuff. You know, I can't do that because I literally can't do that.
Right.
I'm learning my software every day as well, because they're so robust. I learn these things all the time. So that's cool. It just becomes cool at that point.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, that's awesome.
Now will you like show Zach in your guys' man corner? Will you guys nerd out over that stuff together?
We have in the past.
For sure.
We haven't much lately. He doesn't do as much of the
illustrator stuff. Yeah, we've kind of gone into our own lanes now for design and video.
But I can learn a lot from him on the Premiere side.
For sure.
And you guys have gotten to collaborate some.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Animation videos.
Mm-hmm. Which is, it's kind of cool because when Tony talked a little bit about his origin of creativeness, talking about animation, that we were able to tap into that a little bit.
That's funny. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. Definitely.
So after the publishing company, then you went where?
Publishing to a little bit of freelance, which was pretty cool. Didn't last very long. Had kids.
Yeah.
And
need to make more
money. Had to make a little more money, and just the cost of living is crazy now. So that was really cool. I always enjoy freelance work. And then from there, I think I went back to publishing for a little bit, and then that ended. They were downsizing. Ended up doing some more freelance because I got let go, and then worked for the University of Kansas for a little while. And worked for KU, the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, for a little while, for like 9 months. Mm. So far from home. I was driving like an hour and 20 minutes each direction.
Yeah.
Paying the toll on the turnpike, all that stuff. So it was worth it. I had, you know, I needed the work, needed to provide for my family, and then turned that into working at Kansas City Life Insurance Company. Don't know if I can name drop. Doesn't really matter. I am Zach, can edit it out.
Worked out.
It's factual.
I'm not. Fact check.
And always left on good terms everywhere.
As a life insurance person, did you switch careers then? Or
I might have been more profitable. No, I worked as a graphic designer in the marketing department. Mm-hmm. Pretty big marketing group there.
Yeah.
Three designers, like six marketing folks, pretty big group.
Was that corporate experience much different than what you'd experienced with your other roles?
From a tactical standpoint, from a cultural standpoint, just a lot different. A little more corporate.
Yeah.
More rules, more processes. But they had it down. I'm not going to go in and disrupt that one designer, but we had creative projects and we had forms that we did. And that's all graphic design. Doing a form's not ultra creative, obviously, but it's part of what we do. And so, so different for sure. But they did a lot of stuff. A company that has their own full force in-house print press in the basement does a lot of work.
Yeah.
So it's a really good company. Left there, came to SJC, and been here for 3 years doing working for all kind of clients.
Yeah.
So many.
Do you like the variety now, like going from working for one brand versus what you do now?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. You know, the work is the same technically.
Right.
But the process is a little different. The culture is definitely different. And it's different based on our clients. If we're working for a bank, or we're working for our clients or a coffee company, or, you know, you kind of adjust your culture a little bit on what you do. We all know that. We all feel that. So, you know, we cater to the client on that a little bit. But the quality in my realm stays the same. Mm-hmm. I always want to focus on that, creating that visual communication mm-hmm. that meets the client need, is hitting the target and all of those things.
Yeah.
And that changes for each client, but mm-hmm. really just really enjoy that. It's been great having this variety.
So I think we probably need to take a break.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when
yeah.
we get back, we'll talk some about some of your inspiration that yeah. you get, how you continue to create new looks and ideas and styles all the time just blows my mind. And then maybe to bring this back to the theme of our podcast season, which is helping out the small business, small to medium sized business, mm-hmm. is maybe some resources that we could share with them if they're on a budget. Maybe they can't yet outsource all their design or they need more inspiration,
sure.
some stuff we could share with them. So we'll be right back. All right.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Brian Jewell, the in-house web developer here at SJC Marketing. And I've got a quick question for you. If you go to your website, does it load under 3 seconds? Because if it doesn't, your customers probably aren't paying attention. So if you want to get an awesome website, reach out to us today and we'll build you one. Visit us at sjc.marketing.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back to Unfiltered Marketing. We have our amazing, super talented graphic designer, Mr. Tony, in the house today. We spent the first half kind of talking about Tony's bio and how amazing Tony is. He's a very humble person.
Very humble.
He'd never brag.
You know, I don't know if that's a designer thing, but a lot of designers I've met are super humble. I don't know what that is.
I'm so humble. Yeah. Some aren't, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then
if you start getting to the super artist people, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I've.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, carry on.
So, yeah. Season 3 has been focused on presenting new ideas and presenting new concepts for small fries, for small and medium businesses that might not be able to incorporate a awesome Tony styled graphic designer. And so today we wanted to give some tips and pointers and ask the man himself what he thinks about how to incorporate graphic design in a small sense for some small to medium businesses. So
yeah, first of all, I would say it's not really any different than what I would recommend for a big business mm-hmm. because visual communication is really important when you're, and more now than ever, we use pictures and videos and GIFs and all of these visual tools to get our message across. Mm-hmm. And really, it's always been that way. I mean, we've always communicated visually back to hieroglyphic days. I mean, think mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah.
So that's really important. It's always really been an important aspect of communicating. And some people are bent more towards that. I know I am a visual learner. I learn easier that way. For a small business, concerning budget and things like that, do what you can. Utilize resources. If you're going out and looking at websites for logos and assets and things like photography, creativemarket.com is a great resource. There are free resources. I don't always recommend that because they're overutilized. I will also say creating as unique of a identity as you can, whether you can afford a $2,000 logo or you've got your nephew doing it. I don't know what all of those variables are, but try to be a little unique. Cleanliness is best.
Yeah.
Keep things simple. And I have learned that over the years. Keeping things simple. Think about brands like Google. They have a super simple brand. It's a font treatment with colors, and those all mean things, and they're good and they're important. All kinds of think about, you know, you don't have to have a super crazy, attractive, intricate, complicated logo mark. The simple things can make a lasting impression and have a good business model and be consistent. For me, the brand is secondary to you having a really good business model and good product, because it doesn't matter how strong your brand is. If you can't produce, you're not going to...
It doesn't matter how cool
it doesn't
your logo
matter.
Is.
People yeah. aren't going to buy it.
But, yeah.
So that is first and foremost, and that's part of your brand. Exactly what your logo looks like isn't as important as that or your tagline. People aren't going to buy into it if they can't really feel like what they're getting. Your brand is taking that message, taking the validity of what you offer, whether it's a service or a product, and you're taking it to the community. So when you take it to the community, in my mind, if you've got an ultra rad product and you're really proud of it, your branding should represent that. It should be a representation of what that is, and people will recognize that over time. Mm-hmm. Of course, allow for time as well, small folks. You've got to give it time. Mm-hmm. And I know financially that's not always doable, but let that stick in the minds of people. And
on the flip side, once they have nailed down that business model and people, there's the words getting out, there's still competition in the market. So then if you're getting to a place where there's traction, but then people come to a website that looks...
Yes.
I don't even, like you made it in paint, or you don't even have a website, or you have four different logos that are very confusing to the brand, then people start to question the authenticity of your brand and might go somewhere else that seems a little more professional.
You haven't taken the steps to represent your brand well in the marketplace. So people are going to question that, the authenticity of it. So you have an awesome product.
Yeah.
And I've seen that, but your marketing things haven't correlated with that. I mean,
I worked for a company. So
just be thinking along those lines.
Out of college, that they kind of had acquired multiple locations along the way. And somehow with that, their logo had gone through some changes along the way. Similar logo, but the color changed. And then the sizing changed a little. Yet people were still using whatever logo they had access to or whichever one they liked more. And it was just so awful. It made us look like we were kind of janky or like we were giving power to people who shouldn't have power over design decisions. Right. And we fought so hard just to finally get people down to one logo that the marketing department didn't even really love, but we didn't have the money at that time to rebrand. Yeah. But even just when we would see one of our ads and the paper had just pulled a logo they had on file, it was like,
that's awful.
I know, right? And we deal with that with clients. Like one of our clients that we're trying to get a logo for here, they have the same exact situation. It's a very solid product and they've been in the community for a long time. You know, their logo doesn't necessarily say we're a bad company, but I think it does over time affect perception. And their website really needs a revamp. Their branding needs a revamp and they have recognized it and we're going to help them get that knocked out. I don't know exactly what their decision is going to be on the exact design, but whatever they choose, we're going to use that and make it consistent and have it be in the marketplace and people are going to know. And that's what's going to have the value, not whether they use pink or purple in the logo or a circle instead of a square, but it's the consistency and having all of that work together over time creates the brand and creates the impression. And that's what I would say is be patient, clean, and consistent.
Tell us who some of your design inspirations are.
From the illustration side, like I said, going doing illustration back in the day. I don't get to do a lot of it now just because time, but going way back, like Maxfield Parrish, he's long dead, but just an amazing artist, illustrator. Norman Rockwell, he's way understated. He's an amazing artist. When you look at his life and everything he did. And then some of the local guys, Mark English and his son John English, and some of the guys that they bring in, like C.F. Payne, names, you know, most people won't know, but if you look them up, you'll be rocked by their talent. Mark English is in the Illustrators Hall of Fame, which is no small feat for this day. He's just amazing. Design. Recently have, just really enjoyed following some guys. I've showed some of you guys. I really like Steve Wolf's work. The more I get into design and branding and layout, the simpler I want things. Cleaner, bold colors, simple lines, lots of white space.
Good use of white space. Our intern the other day said to me, like, I'm learning Tony likes white space.
and she will too over time. Like, I look back and I know, man, why did I do that? But, you know, those are good stepping stones, but just simple.
Yeah.
And Steve Wolf pulls that off really well. He thinks, I really like the way he thinks, and you can see that when he's working. He's done some Adobe Live things, which it really lets you sit down and see how they work and think through things. And Aaron Draplin is a really big name right in the last few years. Put out his own book, an amazing artist, and he's just a really good advocate for that. Really clean design, bold colors, lots of identity design, and he's a very bold speaker. He's done some, I think some TED, and he's done tons of speaks. You can see him on YouTube or whatever. Amazing artist. Brian Steely. Blow your mind, man.
Brian Steely. To blow your mind.
He's amazing. Steely Works is his company, and he is phenomenal. When you look at my personality icons, you will see Brian Steely.
Oh, nice.
I mean,
nice.
Of course, not near that level, but. And then a group that really inspires me is Ray Motion. I've shared them a little bit, probably, with the group. And man, they just, I love their style. They're clean. They're effective. They do, you know, for like the website, they do all kinds of web integration and identity. And, you know, we do so much of that. I really like that. Mm-hmm. The artist in me, like with Brian Steely, he's got a style, and that's what people pay him for that.
Yeah.
And then Ray Motion, and they incorporate a lot of different things, animation, you know, identity, websites, all of that, and pulling that package together. So they're really inspiring for me there. But yeah,
those I think it's cool when you can tell a designer has a style. But I think one thing I've admired about working with you is that you have been able to be very diverse in the way that you create for our clients, because there are so many different industries and preferences and things like that. I'm sure you still have a style preference. And like you said, overarchingly, it's that it's more like clean and simple. Yeah. And I think we see that in your design. But at the same time, like just the way that you come up with new ideas all the time that are all just so different and amazing. Yeah. Like it just, that was my mind being blown. I've been in marketing, you know, ever since I graduated, and I've worked with lots of different designers. And I remember starting to work with you. I was just like, this guy's super talented.
Oh, thanks.
So.
I think when I came onto the team, and what I've learned from Tony is how timeless graphic design, you know, like design is. Mm. And just because we're in the 21st century doesn't mean that you can't throw out centuries worth of standards for you know, identifying as a brand, even as a company, true. You know, because it's changed over the last few hundred years, but there's still a lot of standards that you have to identify and simplify, and that there's reasons. There's, you know, they didn't know it at the time, but there's literally like psychological reasons why a brand mark might work better than, you know,
or color.
Yeah. So I've learned to appreciate simplicity because of Mr. Tony Barman. So thank you, sir.
Yeah. I think one thing I love that you do for clients that we're maybe doing a rebrand for is when we're presenting different logo options for them or names or whatever, and you're going completely new, you always provide the why behind. You know, it's not just you throwing together colors and shapes that you like or prefer, or maybe it is, I don't know, but you usually have a really detailed description of like why you chose these colors, because of what it means for this brand, or why you chose this shape, and you help us see things that the normal eye wouldn't maybe see. And I think it's helped our team too to really appreciate good design and the meaning behind all of it. So
intentionality, like everything has a purpose. And I don't always have, sometimes it is the colors that I just like, and sometimes it's like with Jackie. Mm-hmm. She's got colors she wants.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. I'm cool with that, because that's who you are. And that maybe I wouldn't have chose those exactly, but that helps represent your brand and who you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to use those.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And sometimes the meaning will come a little bit later.
Like,
I think one of my favorite things that you've said, Tony, over the last few years seeing you work is the spoilers, colors don't really matter in the end. Like, you know, if you make a logo, you got to make a logo that's going to be able to take on a different color to some degree. Yeah. Because if it can't work as black and white, then there's a good chance
it's not going to
work.
Yeah, that's a big push too. I go out and look for inspiration. You see a lot of stuff just represented in black and white in its simplest form, because it can hold that. It doesn't need all of the glitter.
Yeah,
to stand out. So simple, black and white can work.
Yeah. Okay, before we wrap up, I thought it'd be fun to hear, which I didn't prep you for this, so if you can go to the archives of your brain.
Oh boy.
When you first started designing to where you are now, what were some of the like either design trends, or it was like your stamp or whatever that you would put on stuff that you were like obsessed with doing versus where you are now?
One of my first freelance gigs was helping a local church, Baptist church. They were building a new building, and they had some architecture drawings, and they wanted to put a little brochure together. I remember it distinctly. Man, it was Rage Italic was the shiz.
Rage Italic.
I couldn't get away from
it. The font.
Dang, why would I ever use that? I did.
Googling Rage Italic.
So,
funny.
But what's funny is I still see designers use it today. Fine, it's fine, you know. I'm not criticizing.
How about Impact? Did you ever use Impact?
Impact was the ultra fat condensed font that just was bold, like smacking people in the face. It's fine, man.
What's the
Rage Italic? That's not bad. I mean. Or maybe they've updated it.
Against the machine.
No, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. In small doses. It's like, it's like.
Yeah, you shouldn't write a paragraph with Ray J.
It's like the Avatar logo. It's papyrus. they got away with it and they made millions.
Yeah, they did.
It's fine.
And there have been a lot of memes and videos about it. Right?
With the B, billions.
Yeah. There you go. So.
Okay, so that was a
Really interesting brochure. Good photography. They had like all kinds of renderings of the building and stuff.
Yeah, we could do a whole other segment on how passionate you are about having good photography too.
Photography, typography, white space.
I have
forget
a
about it.
I have a rapid fire question.
Yeah,
go for it.
What's the one thing if you could kill in design that people are doing that should have died 20 years ago?
Oh man, gosh!
Like if you could kill
just given the world like 20 fonts to choose from.
Okay.
Instead of a billion.
20 billion. Yeah.
I don't know. I might catch some flack for that, but man, not saying there's some beautiful fonts, and handwritten fonts are becoming very popular with creative market. People are literally creating their own hand drawn stuff, and it's getting more popular because of like iPad Pro. You can just literally draw it on iPad and you can create fonts with it. And that's great. It's awesome. But it's a saturated market. Maybe pull back on that a little bit, but no real criticism there as far as any individual font or style.
There's just too
but
many
there's
options.
Just all the free font websites. It's obscene.
And, okay, I have more questions too. This is too fun.
Yeah.
If you could only design with one color the rest of your life.
Oh my gosh.
Not black and white.
Why would you? No. See, that's an interesting question. And I had this feeling like she's going to ask me what's my favorite color because there isn't one. And
it
it's
could
funny
be a color that you use
like
shades of.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
What's a primary, secondary that you'd prefer?
Yeah, blue.
Blue.
Okay. I mean, you may even see that when I do stuff like he uses a lot of blue, but I don't know.
Not for SJC.
So often it's just brand.
Yeah.
I'm just going to use what the brand needs or has. And we've got a few blue and we've got a few that are predominantly like red or black and red, so we roll with that.
Yeah. If you could have illustrated any Disney movie that's out today, what would it be?
Man, gosh. See, cell animation is such an insane thing, and I don't know that they do it the same way they used to. Like, I think about Moana and the style's similar, but I don't know how much of that is done just pencil and paper.
Yeah.
I know they storyboard that way, but I don't know if it's just direct to digital.
Well, there's still.
If I could go back and do cells where they're doing page flips.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. That would be.
Disney still incorporates that into their short form, their short animations.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
There's a really cool one, I think called Paper Man or something like that, that was black and white. That was really, they incorporated cell animation and digital. And it won a Academy Award, I think, that year for best short film.
So much talent goes into those. Man, I wish they did more of them, just the straight up old school cell anime, but. I have no idea. I'll just say I like the moving tattoos on.
Yeah.
What was his name? It wasn't.
I don't know.
It was on Moana.
I haven't seen Moana.
You haven't? Oh, you would.
I don't have children, and I don't.
It's on Netflix.
It's cool. So. It's free.
I know.
Yeah. It's but not free. If
I know
Netflix,
the song.
We
were singing it yesterday. Yeah.
But anyway, he's got
The Rock.
Yeah.
Dwayne. His character has. It's tattoos that move, and it's really neat.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Kind of like his person. It's kind of like his personality, maybe slash soul.
Were you ever in a comic books?
No.
No?
Yeah, it's interesting.
No. But what about Japanese anime?
Manga?
Not really. I have, growing up, I had friends that were ultra into Japanese anything.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I never really got into comic books or like doing comic. I really appreciate it though. Mm. When I go geek out on Behance and I'm just looking at artists in general, man, there's a ton of really cool comic book artists. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that a lot. But it is a style and it takes a ton of talent and time. And so anyway.
Yeah.
Any other curiosity questions?
We'll just have to save them for next time.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like we need like a round two of this because that was super fun.
Cool.
At least for us. Yeah. I don't know.
I enjoy it.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Sorry we took so long to get you on
here.
It's
all good, man. I don't know everything about design and I'll admit that, but I love learning and helping folks.
Leave our listeners with one interesting fact about yourself.
Oh, man. Why would you do that to me? I fell out of a tree when I was a little kid.
Oh.
Ooh. How high up were we talking?
8, 10 foot, 15 foot. I was climbing an apple tree in the backyard, racing my brother. We had two apple trees. We were racing. He's older. I was killing him. Fell, and a cut limb caught me underneath the armpit and ripped my arm open. And I got really close to being paralyzed, but...
Wow. Oh, my God!
That's pretty intense.
I thought you were like, tell people that you have like a farm.
I have a farm.
That's not very interesting.
Oh
now,
my gosh.
Was this more interesting than that?
Absolutely.
I have 12 chickens.
Oh my gosh.
And that's true,
you
right?
You ripped like, your arm it's open like, at the armpit?
It's like your husband's, you know, life story, you know, how he almost, I was falling and it like,
oh so, my god. Anyway,
you know, I came down and went to the hospital and I don't know. It's so long ago. I was seriously like 8. I have
oh my gosh.
So interesting fact, but
why?
I'm
glad you're not paralyzed.
I also live on a farm and enjoy the simpler things of life. Like
yes, you do. And you also killed a mouse by punching it.
I don't like mice, man. Mice are vermin. They're cute, but... And they just, anything that breeds by like the 10s or 20s, you know, well, when you live on a farm, they can be little terrorizers.
Right.
So, yep.
I came in one day to the office and shared a story about how my husband had killed a mouse in our kitchen with a grilling fork and that he had been wearing like rubber gloves and a bandana around his face. Like he was so not into this. Yeah. And it was like a 2-hour standoff. And Tony just like quietly was like, oh yeah, I killed a mouse last night too. I punched it. It was crawling up my chicken coop and I just punched. I was like, what? With your hand?
You gotta maximize the opportunity, man, because they are hard as hell to catch. I'm telling you, I've had mouse traps out. I know there's a mouse in my house. We don't have a lot because we get them on the outskirts.
Yeah.
But there is one that's been in my house for weeks and it won't take the bait on the trap.
Really?
So when you see one, you gotta get it when you do it, man.
Throat punch a mouse.
Breed 30 more.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Sorry, Mickey.
Fun. Mickey. Yeah. If mice looked like Mickey, we wouldn't really
And Mighty.
Kill them.
I like Mighty Mouse, too. Yeah. Haul it back to the old
Mortimer. Throw back.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up, but till next time.
Stay unfiltered, yo.
Yeah.
Peace.
Continue today's topic with us by tweeting your thoughts to Marketing SJC. Or visit our website, sjc.marketing.